Okay, well, we keep the band and switch guests. and it's time for Patrick Doyle in the house, and he has Veritas Counseling. And here to take her calls, our phone number is 776-5368 is the number if you want to join the conversation, 776-5368. That's a local call both in Jackson and Josephine County. Toll free everywhere else at 1-800-373-5368. And by the way, I just want to say, Patrick, at the top of the show, you know, we've been praying for, working with Hearts with a Mission.
Yeah.
And Hearts with a Mission is the home going to be opening up for homeless kids,
right.
Teenagers.
Right.
And today they start the renovation project on the house.
Awesome.
This is a big, big day.
It is.
And yeah. We want to, they've called and said, would the staff out there pray? And so we're going to ask you to pray for Hearts with a Mission as they start the renovation program today. And here's the other thing. Today is Youth Day, and kids ages from 16 to 24 from the Youth Council have come on over to the house to help them with the renovation. So
that's
you got youth
awesome.
Helping youth.
That's great.
How about that?
That's the way it ought to be.
So pray for Hearts with a Mission. They officially get kicked off today by renovating the home that they got, and it won't be long that thing will completely renovate it and start taking kids off the street.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's how God is, you know.
Well, it's just a fabulous thing to watch this whole thing come together. And Kevin Lampson and the whole team over there that had a real heart to step out by faith.
That's
right. I
mean,
you talk about a faith walk. Here you go.
Yeah, start with nothing and end up with something.
Few know what it is, Kevin, to get out of the boat. The rest are still looking for the stones. so some people take their faith seriously, and God uses that.
Yeah. I mean, when God taps on someone's heart, you know, like obviously he did Kevin. I mean, he's not a professional social worker, you know, in the business helping people. God just tapped him on the shoulder and opened his heart. And next thing you know, something glorious is happening.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that about God is that he can qualify anyone.
Yeah. I think, you know, that is the hope. I think people need to understand that you may think you're worthless. You got nothing going on. And that God can't use you, that is a lie from the pit.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at the scriptures in the New Testament, well, basically all through there, but when you see the people who God used, there's not a bunch of good ones in there.
No, they're basically losers and rejects. But God does his best work with people who just say, well, okay, if you can use me, go for it.
That's right. And, you know, I think that being broken on some level, needy, recognizing that you're not together – it's a prerequisite to being a good vessel of God. Mm-hmm. If you think you got it together, no one's going to want to listen to you. Because every time I'm around somebody who's all together, I just feel bad. Because I'm like, I need to do better. But when I'm around somebody who's like actually real and has faults and isn't trying to hide them, that's encouraging to me, particularly if they're being used.
I think I know where you want to go today, but I may not want you to go there.
Okay.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Why is it that people of faith speak negative things?
Well,
you get in a room and you get the can-dos and the cannot-dos.
Right.
Why are the cannot-dos so negative? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a multi-layered question, but I'll start with this. I think there are people who operate in the faith, and I'm saying that in general, they operate in faith, not really. They actually – their faith is fear-based. And then you have other folks whose faith is not fear-based. It's Christ-based. It's the fact that out of his severe mercy and love, he reached out of heaven and saved us. He picked us up. Other folks are trying to get somewhere, and they're afraid God's going to be upset with them if they do it wrong. So a lot of times what happens is what you see coming out of those folks is things like, oh, no, we got to be careful. Oh, no, what about and how come? And wait a minute, well, you got to think about – now, if you look at the wisdom of Proverbs, there is some instruction to say, you know, look, count the cost, you know, be diligent. You know, you have to look at the details.
But the scripture says out of the heart the mouth speaks.
Right. So what I'm saying is –
there's something on the inside – that's not connecting with their faith, that with their response to everything is kind of like a yeah, but.
Yeah, because it's because they're based in fear. Mm. If you're based in fear, you can't convince yourself to take a risk. Mm. Because You're sure because of your fear. And again, you said it earlier, it's based in a lie. Look, you know, I'm sitting in this chair today as a complete result of the mercy of God. Not because I did it right. Mm-hmm. Not because I had all things together. Not because I read the right books or I went to the right whatever or I went to church enough or prayed enough. Mm-hmm. It was because God did something that I can't even explain. Now, when you know that's true, and you've experienced that, Perry, when you come to that crossroads again, mm-hmm. yeah. you start to remember, oh, yeah, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. But you know what? I remember, you know, I've been here before, and God has faithfully and beyond my wildest dreams repeatedly brought me to a place I didn't even know was possible.
This could be more of a theological question than a counseling question, but, you know, we'll just lay it on the table. And that is, sometimes, I don't know where the line is between speaking what you truly believe and the power of positive confession.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know where that all comes in, because, I mean, there's some theologies out there that teach
right.
just speak it and it'll happen.
Okay.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I think in the heart of every person, there is – immediately you know whether or not they're relaxed in God or they're not. You can tell it within seconds.
Right.
Especially the one that's constantly apologizing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes.
Exactly.
But sooner or later, you kind of – folks, we're getting a room service here. What are you getting in your coffee there?
I'm getting some cream that's also sugar.
And Sue's doing it for you.
Sue
does everything.
Sue, the hostess with the mostest, is helping the brother out here.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying? I guess I understand caution, and
sure.
I understand
prudence.
Prudence,
yes.
And I understand counting the
wisdom,
cost,
right.
And wisdom, and all that.
But it's not an excuse, and that's what I was trying to get at. You can't hide behind it.
Okay.
And I think that's what a lot of people do.
I mean, I try to encourage people. It's like, yeah, well, you know, okay, maybe someday.
Right.
I mean, they really are down. I'm thinking, you know what? Wait a minute. You're above grass. The sun's up. You're breathing oxygen.
Yeah.
You got another chance to get at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they somehow can't see that as a positive.
Okay. So let me talk to a second. As someone who has spent some time in his life in a dark cloud. And if, you know, I'll tell you this. I've been in a dark cloud and no one know. I've also been in a dark cloud and everyone know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of folks in the church that have that dark cloud around them. And, you know, you can pick it up when you start talking to them at any sort of length. You start going, wow, there's something there. So when you're in that dark cloud and you think that everything is going to turn to mud – and everything's bad. Now, you're not fronting with that, and you're not necessarily so conscious about that. But the bottom line of that mentality is, and I'll say this, and then I'll backtrack. It's a lack of faith, okay? Now, and again, when I say faith, I don't mean words. I don't mean activities. I mean a confidence in your soul about who God is and what he has done. Now, if we think about our salvation for just a couple minutes, I mean, do we deserve to be on our way to heaven?
No.
No. Do we deserve to be blessed in any fashion, whether it be minuscule or immense, by God?
Mm-mm.
No, we don't even deserve to have air if we measure from his standard. But because of his exceeding mercy and unbelievable grace, he, through the work of a cross that he did, he spared us what we deserve.
Okay, but how come we can't get believers to relax in that absolute?
Right, because I don't believe that a lot of folks really understand. I have this conversation, Perry, I swear to you, weekly with Christians about what the gospel is. That when we start rehearsing the gospel, do I have stress in my life? Do you have stress in your life?
No.
Yes. I got big financial stress. You know, I got business stress. I got my wife's going to have surgery at the end of the month. Mm. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's always true. Just a matter of degree. Sometimes it's 95%, sometimes it's 15%. Mm-hmm. But it's always there. So avoiding the circumstances is never going to work. You can't arrange your life in such a way that you can avoid the pressure. If you could, we'd all do it.
Yeah.
But we can't. So here's the thing. In the midst of the struggle, what am I going to do? Am I going to focus on me and what I don't have and what I wish I had and what I wish you would do and what about them and how come and why not and when are they going to stop and how are you going to change it and blah, 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 blah. Or am I going to say, God, look, I am desperately in need of help. You, God, please build into me faith that produces hope and love rather than self-examination, blame shifting, disgruntledness. Paul said, I have learned to be content. Why? He said, in light of the weight of glory, these are light and momentary afflictions. If you don't understand the weight of glory, if you don't see God in some fashion, you're not going to see it as light and momentary. You're going to be overwhelmed by it.
I'm convinced that if we can change the confession of a mouth, you can change the direction of a soul.
Mm.
And and I don't mean that by just power of positive confession. But it's amazing how people have developed, during a hard time, they develop a negative response to everything. And therefore, their habits won't let them see the positive. Mm. I mean, is that an addiction? Are we addicted to being down? Are we addicted to being negative? Are we being, because we're not being a very good testimony.
Right. I think it's more of I think it's more training than it is addiction. Some people believe that while yet I'm a believer, I'm not supposed to be happy.
Why?
Because I have to, you know, pay my dues and I have to
penance,
be spiritual, and I have to, you know, I have to suffer for the Lord and, you know, and all these things. And while we do suffer, you know, I don't get any brownie points because I suffer. there's not a point system here. God said, look, I have saved you, period. You didn't do it. It's doesn't have nothing to do with you. I made a decision before the foundation of the earth was laid to make you mine, and no one can change that. Now, I don't know about you, but that inspires confidence in me. If the God of the universe, who created light, has said that he's going to take care of me, no one can stop him. Here's the problem, though. I want what I want. And
now,
I want it my way
now.
And my timing.
Yeah.
And God's on the eternal time scale. And he frustrates the stew out of me. But what am I going to do? And I'm telling you, man, this is why I keep encouraging people. Got to slow it down. Got to turn off all the static. You got to find a quiet place, and you got to go there.
Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm busy.
I know.
But you don't understand. I got three kids yelling at me. You don't understand. I got a job.
You don't understand who you're talking to.
Well, I'm just trying to be.
I got all the same stuff too. I got all that stuff. I got kids. I have a wife. I have a business. I have a ministry. I have a lot of stuff going on. I have friends. I have a life.
I have
a past.
Yeah. The scripture says in John 10:10, the devil comes but to steal, destroy, and to kill.
That's right.
Next line. Jesus said that.
Yeah.
Next line, Jesus said, but I come to give you life and that more abundantly.
That's right.
So there is a tug of war going on.
Yep.
And the scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
Well, if the devil's business is to steal.
Yeah.
And the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right.
And he's there where people are praising. Well, the first thing you can do is take your joy away. He's going to steal that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to stop you from praising.
Yeah.
Therefore, you have cut the two things off in your life that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's presence and his joy.
Right. And here's the thing. Here's what I get to, Perry. That's absolutely true. And what I hear time and time and time again is that you and I have had this conversation 100 times, is that people at that point say, yeah, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
I haven't done it right. I, you know, you don't understand how bad I've been, and you know, God's not. I can't worship Him. Look, I mean, I was doing that, you know, just a few minutes ago. How can I worship God? I'm like, that's exactly the moment you need to be worshiping Him. Look, God isn't going to be offended when you come worship Him because you're a sinner. He already knows. That's why He bled and died on the cross, to spare you from the consequences of your sin. So He's not up there going, oh, I'm expecting you to be perfect. He's up there, no, I know you're going to fail. Come here, I'll help you. Mm-hmm. Come in here. I love how Hebrews puts it in the Message. You can now, without hesitation, as a result of the cross, walk right into the holy place. Now, to the Jews, they were like, walk into the holy place? We tied a rope to the priest's ankle because it's dangerous in there. Mm-hmm. God was saying, no more. As a result of Christ's body, free, come on in. It is without fear or hesitation. Walk right in, and I will be with you. Now, that was a radical idea.
But there seems to be a disconnect from what people supposedly believe and what they're really living out.
It's absolutely true.
If 85% of the congregation today is sitting in a pew hurting,
that's right,
hopeless or confused, and the numbers bear that out.
I know.
Pastors they're having a hard time struggling with that one.
Yeah, I know.
But this concealed thing called whatever it is, hopelessness or hurting or confusion, the numbers are bearing that out. There is a disconnect from what they believe and what they're living. And I think that it opens the door for compounding guilt.
It's true. Here's my bottom line on that. Look, I can always tell what someone believes
by
what they do. Because your behavior doesn't lie. My behavior is motivated by my beliefs. I believe people always do exactly what they want to do.
So if I want 100 of those marshmallow bazookas, does that tell you anything about me?
You love shooting marshmallows? And you want to have a marshmallow shooting war?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I think that but what I'm saying is that my behavior reveals my beliefs. I can flap my jaw all day long. But then when I go do, reveals what I really believe.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. I can say I love God. I can say I have faith. I can say I'm mature in the Lord. I can say it. The Pharisees said it, but they weren't. They weren't mature. They were mature in knowledge. They had a lot of knowledge. But their actions defied what Christ was saying. It was opposite to what He was saying. And He gave them the what for on that. And so here's the deal. When I'm hurting, look, trouble doesn't make us. It reveals us. So when this difficulty comes, it's going to reveal what's really in my heart. So I had a situation a while ago. Two different friends simultaneously going through very difficult circumstances. One guy, he totally imploded, just went carnal and just did all kinds of things that hadn't done in a long time.
Had a total flesh out.
Flesh out. Okay. The other guy, very difficult circumstances, and both of them were very difficult circumstances. The other guy falls on his knees and he says, I don't know what to do. I need help. God, you're my only hope. If you don't intervene, I'm toast. Now, which guy has a mature faith?
What was the outcome?
One guy had peace through the midst of the difficulty. The other guy made his life worse because now he has all these complications from all these things he's doing. And then I'll tell you the end of the story. The other guy eventually repented and came to a deeper faith as a result of all that trouble that he was self-inflicting. Mm-hmm. My point, though, is that neither one of them had a relief of their circumstances. They just walked through it. It didn't change. You know, both of them still live with the scars of those circumstances, neither of which they asked for or caused. It was totally something that was done outside of them.
Well, I think we're living in a time, you know, with all that's going on in the world, in the culture, the United States, and we can go on and off on that
right.
Crazy. But it really is a time for us to get dead serious with our faith. And we've never been required to be serious about our faith. We've been, right. It was kind of like a social activity. It was a part of our life. It wasn't our total our life. Now we're being forced to get serious with it, right. And make it totally our life,
right.
Which means we got some more dying to do.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah. And I really, you know, I keep encouraging folks to not keep listening to everybody else. You know, you need to spend some of your own time in the scripture. You need to spend some of your own time in quietness. You can't just always be listening to somebody on the radio, or you can't just always be listening to your friend. When is it going to be you, mano a mano, you and God together? That's one of the things that I see missing. Because we're so busy, it takes time. And I'm telling you, man, you've got to have some intimacy with God. If God speaks to you, and you know that 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 it was Him, that will encourage your faith.
Well, and that sets up the next one.
Yes.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
Hi, Frank. You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hi, Frank.
Since I spoke with Nish earlier, I forgot to call. It's the same kind of theme you're talking about. I have to agree with you 100%, Patrick, and affirm what you're saying. Until I really got alone with God and I had to really question my faith and really look at myself and say, you know, am I really a believer? Am I really a Christian? Do I really live what I say I believe? And I posit the question that a lot of people who say they are and they're out, you know, living their lives according to their will and doing whatever they're doing, I wonder if they really are believers.
Yeah, well, it begs the question.
You know, I think they do believe, but they're in process. They're believers in process. Right. You know, nobody's born full-grown.
No.
Right.
And Paul even wrestled with this in Corinthians 3. He said, you know, look, I want to give you meat, but you're still on the bottle.
Right.
And so it's hard to judge where people are in their process, but God uses circumstances to mature you and move you on. And I will say this, Frank, whatever God has saved you from and has brought you through, turn around, pal, because your ministry now is to help somebody else through the same thing.
Amen. Yeah,
bring somebody
That's
else
very
through.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thank
God bless you, Frank.
You know, I it's easy to judge.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to fall into that.
No.
But my concern is that I think that there is this element of negativity in Christendom, and especially now with what's happened in the
exactly.
United States and with the church. And,
right.
You know, Bob and I, you know, we get together and things are flying all over the place. But, you know, it's every once in a while it makes sense. Not all the time. But anyway, I'm just really concerned where I really think we need to check our confession because the world is wanting what we are professing, but they don't see it in us.
Well,
they don't hear it from us.
I think the theme that I pick it up from what you're struggling with or what you're getting at, Perry, is it's a maturity issue. It's a spiritual maturity issue. And when difficulty comes, and it's here, you know, on a political level at least, what we do reveals where we're at. And if we all start whining – what does that look like?
It's more than whining. It's just the fact that everybody knows you are a believer, but your confession is anything but positive. Your confession is anything but joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Or faith.
Or faith.
You know, my trust is in God. My trust is not in the political system.
I truly believe that if we'll grab a hold of the old saying is the horns of the altar. I have a vision of what that is in my mind. But you know what I'm saying.
I do.
And the world is saying, you know, I really want to believe what you Christians are professing, but I'm having a hard time when you guys are so down underneath. You're under the circumstances. You're not on top of it.
Right. If Christ is revealed in us, I don't think there'll be any problem with people wanting to hang out with us. Jesus didn't repulse anybody who was needy. He repulsed mostly religious people and people who thought they had it together and people who thought they didn't have any needs.
That's a good point. Hey, Devorah, you're next. Go ahead.
Good morning, man of God.
Hi.
I just wanted to say amen to what you were saying. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been a Christian for 30-some years, and I can't tell you how many times in my life when the circumstances were the very worst. I had to cry out to God on my knees, and I had to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to say, Lord, you know, I can't do this, and whatever you choose, Lord, is okay with me. And there were times, one time my son was dying, my little baby, and I had to get down on my knees, and I had to make a point in my heart of saying, God, I give up, and that I will choose to serve you no matter what you choose, and I will love you and mean it with all of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that every time I have done that, the circumstances didn't necessarily change immediately, but they did change, and I came out of it a stronger Christian with a greater faith.
Good for you. Thanks, Devorah. I got to scoot. We're almost out of time here. Great confession. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I you know, and I realize those moments come where God allows us to get cornered.
Yep.
And the only way out is through Him. Mm-hmm. And that can be painful, but it's also extremely rewarding.
It is.
But I just want to make a little caution here. I want to put a little yellow flag or a yellow light up out there for us. Watch your confession today. Just watch what you're saying, because people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Your children are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends, your business associates, mm-hmm. they know you're a Christian, and they want to know that, mm-hmm. and they may know you're going through a tough time.
Yeah.
And they're watching how you handle it, because that is going to determine whether or not they want to serve your God,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've all been tested. I mean, everybody's level of testing is different, but I've had to watch myself not to hang around with people that are Christian and negative. I can't handle that. Melvin, I'll give you 10 seconds. Go. Melvin?
Hello?
Yeah, 10 seconds. Go. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I just wanted to say amen to you, because I've been through this, and I know that you can't walk with the ungodly, because I walked with the Lord for 35 years, and I got involved with some people that were ungodly and fell away from the Lord, and I just had to have really at a dark moment, and then I just kind of came to myself one day and said, I'm not alone, God's here, and I just confessed myself and, you know, to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Melvin. I got to I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm out of time. Thanks, friend, for calling. Great. And I think you just got to watch it. You got to protect what's coming in your ears, and you certainly got to watch what's going out in your mouth.
And just remember, it's never too late to repent.
Yeah, never too late to say, help!
Exactly.
And yell it.
I mean, exactly.
You ever yell it out?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. If you saw me in that closet, you'd be surprised, I think, sometimes.
You know, television being what it is, we may get a camera in there.
We can record it.
See you, pal. Bye. Hey, your office number.
622-6018.
That's Veritas Counseling.
That's
622-6018.
Thanks.